On this episode, Steve and I discuss the secret to creative collaboration. We sit down with the contemporary artists that make up Roland and Auger and hear about their secret sauce. It's a good one. Hope you enjoy.
You are listening to the Rebel Storytellers podcast.
Rebel Storytellers.
Candid conversations with dreamers, doers, and creative problem solvers.
Hosted by Brad Wise and Steve Fuller.
A wee podcast made in Cincinnati, Ohio.
So today, Bradley, we are going to be talking to a couple of artists. One of them I've actually known for a really long time, Colin. The other one I just met today, Dan. And one of the things that struck me about these two guys is that they're very different, yeah. Which I think people will hear. But together, it works. So they complement each other in a way that if it was just one of them, they would have some strengths, but their weaknesses, I think, would really hurt them. And if it was just the other one, they would have that opposite set of strengths, but then the opposite set of weaknesses. And so together, they're doing this really cool stuff that seems to be working, even though they're really different people. And I was thinking about people in my life that through the years have complimented me well, and that as a team, you end up a little bit better. And I was actually having kind of a hard time doing that because I'm such like the total package that...
I thought you were about to say something nice to me.
I did. Nice to me. But then I was thinking about you and how incomplete you are as a human being.
True.
And I was thinking maybe you had a good story of your talents, which you are very talented.
Thank you.
So I will compliment you
right.
in many ways.
Yep.
But then there are some things that you probably aren't as talented with.
True.
And you've done probably a few more collaborative creative things than I have. So anyone in your life you feel like compliments you and how that's worked for you?
Yes. I have long said that I didn't really start accomplishing stuff in a significant way until Isaac Stambo came into my life.
I know that guy.
Yep. He's got a beard. And I hired him at the Vineyard to be a video coordinator. And Isaac just is the yin to my yang or the yang to my yin.
I think either one works.
You think? The key to creative collaboration is you got to mash up dreamers and doers, but you got to mash up, I think, two things happen. You got to have a creative dreamer or a creative person that has ideas and they are self-aware and they know what they're not good at. Then you got to have a doer who has an engineer mind, not necessarily an engineer, but their mind works in an engineer kind of a way, but they have a respect for creativity, and they can even be super creative themselves, but they have a respect for it. And so when you're self-aware of your weaknesses and you have a respect for the creative, that creates sort of this mutual environment of respecting what you don't have. And when you put those two forces together is when things start really happening.
So from what you're saying, this could break down in one of two ways. One way is you may not be self-aware. Mm-hmm. And so you think you can just do it all. Right. You're good at it. You don't need any help.
Right.
When you do. And the other way is you could not respect the other person's expertise or what they're bringing to the table. And second guess and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so from Isaac's perspective, what he thinks about whenever we have a crazy, idea of making something or telling anything we do, whether it's a movie or just a small, short little video, what his brain automatically goes to is the nuts and bolts, the production schedule, how much it's going to cost, how we're going to do it, all of those things that my brain doesn't first think of. It's not like I'm an idiot. I think of that stuff. But that's what his brain goes to immediately. What makes him a great partner is that even though he does that, he can then look over to the other side of his brain and start saying, okay, but this is a valid creative idea. I can see why the story matters. How then do I take what I know and combine it with this creative idea? A lot of times the people with those engineering minds, the doers, they don't respect and they don't see the creative side. So all they give you is no. They're no first. You say, I got this idea. And they're like, nope, can't happen because of XYZ. Can't do it.
You can say my name if you want to.
well, you're that way in a way, but I think you respect creativity and you're getting better about knowing that there's some ebb and flow to the relationship.
Well, that's what I think. That's why that partnership is probably rare. I mean, it's not like you and I have tons of conflict all the time, but I don't think we work together in that super magical way yet, right? Like if I – like probably the way you're talking about Isaac and people here in this interview, Colin and Dan, like there's some sort of like I think magic that happens when you really get it all right.
Well, Isaac and I, we butt heads.
Yeah? Tell me about that.
But the key is, and I think this is what you and I have, there's a mutual respect. And when there's respect, then you can, like, work through it. Yeah. When there's not respect, if you're the creative person, you just think you're a rock star, and you got this guy who's giving you all these no's of, like, the practical stuff, if you don't respect that side of the solution, you're just like, whatever, you don't get me. You don't get my vision. You're done. I'm going to go find some other flake who's just going to bend his will to whatever I want to do, and you can end up with a hot mess.
Yeah, we talked about this off air once, but I think everyone experiences this in every job, but each person will bring some unique expertise, and sometimes the people around you just have to respect your expertise, and then sometimes you just have to be willing to respect other people's expertise, and if not, that's going to be a big problem, not only with the finished product, but just relationally. It's like if there's someone who has to be in charge of every single decision and there's someone else that knows way more than they do who has an opinion and the person in charge is like, no, we're just going to do it my way. Well, then what's the point of having different people around? Just do it all yourself.
Right. When we did A Strange Brand of Happy and we had our first crew meeting, the thing I said was, what we're going to do, the number one thing, maybe the only thing, is we're going to respect each other. If we do that, everything else falls in line.
Yeah, I remember Stephen Sample, who is the president of USC, wrote a book called The Contrarian's Guide to Leadership. And one of the things I remember from that book was this idea of he defined his role as a leader is surrounding yourself with people who are better than you, because those people know how to do their jobs and you don't. And where most leaders get into trouble is they surround themselves with people who are worse than they are because they want to look good all the time.
Right.
And his whole thing was, you need to be the least talented, intelligent person in your circle or your organization is never going to work. Because if it's all about you all the time, you're not leaning on these people who are supposedly experts in their fields. That seems like a pretty good idea.
Right? Yeah, and maybe another way to say it is that maybe that guy's – he's probably the most talented at bringing talented people together. That's a pretty awesome talent to have.
That's a good talent versus doing everything yourself.
I think Joe has that talent.
Which one? Doing everything himself?
No, Joe surrounds himself with talented people.
Yeah.
So – should we jump in and hear from Dan and Colin?
Yeah, we can probably learn a lot from them talking about their partnership.
And their origin story?
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating story of how these two got together and how that turned into some pretty awesome artwork that they're doing.
So let me set the stage here and then we'll jump into their story. Colin is a prolific artist and has been for years. Dan is a prolific businessman, an engineer by trade, who years ago took over the family business, a metal fabrication company. It's a huge facility, millions of dollars worth of machines. But in the mid-2000s, as he poured himself into the business, his marriage started to fall apart and eventually ended in divorce.
You know, there I was sitting there. I had just alone in this big empty house, every couple of days the kids would stop by and I'm sitting there just really pretty devastated at just what life had become and, you know, searching for meanings and truth from it, just really trying to understand, like, okay, you know, where do I go from here? Why am I even doing this? What the heck is going on? You know, and it was just really a disappointing thing. And so it was like, okay, I need to reinvent myself. And I really need to do something. Something's got to change. You know, I didn't have many friends because I was busy all the time. So I started just doing things that were you know, kind of uncomfortable outside of my box. Just, you know, hey, I got to break up my brain patterns here, this, you know, this set way, you know. And I think a lot of people fall into that. And that was the thing. So I went to one of Colin's art shows as one of the things that I would probably never do.
Really? So up to that point, you really didn't have
any art
background?
Nothing.
So the first time you guys met, you hadn't really done anything artistic, quote unquote, at that point.
I had not personally, no.
And so what about that night sparked you? Do you remember?
Well, you know, just the, you know, it was really, you know, the crowd was cool. You know, there was a bunch of people. It seemed to have community, you know. There was a lot of people knew each other, and it was, you know, they were all very encouraging people, stuff, you know. And the art was really awesome. It was some of the most, you know, just some of the most interesting artwork I had seen. Not that I had seen a ton, mind you, by that time.
Right.
But, you know, the whole thing, you know, it was very inspiring. It was just really, really, you know, really interesting.
So it was at this art opening where Dan noticed that Colin was using metal in his artwork. So he mustered up the courage, and he approached Colin to offer up his metal fabrication facility as a place that might be useful for making art.
So the first time Dan comes up to you, what are you thinking? As a creative type who's a social butterfly, are you thinking, and be as honest as you can, are you thinking like, who's this guy? Like, I don't want to do this. How can I get rid of him? Or are you the type of person that's like, wow, that sounds cool. I really do want to check it out.
Maybe a mixture. I try to weigh things out and just, you know, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. That's kind of my approach. I'm an opportunist. I try to keep a positive perspective. So I'm like, hey, yeah, sounds cool. Yeah, let's, we'll get together sometime. And then, of course, the conversation came up again a little while later at the Christmas party. And then I thought, oh, hey, well, maybe I really should explore this more, especially as he had more of the opportunity to explain, listen, we can do some really cool stuff. Let's meet and really just talk. And it kind of finally, you know, lights came on.
As a creative type, is that a strategy or is that just who you are as a person? Do you say yes a lot because that's a good creative strategy, or are you just a guy that is social and likes to hang out?
It's funny. I'm learning how to say no more for the growth of artistic endeavors and our business. And I'm learning that I need to have boundaries and not just say yes to everything like I used to. But for me, I think just staying positive is important, as in being a yes guy. Like, yeah, why? Well, let's try that. And if that's not the right path, then I'll say no and try something else. But yeah, again, I'm an opportunist, and you know, and obviously working with Dan has brought about many wonderful opportunities, and our business has just grown and grown. And honestly, we feel like it's something we're supposed to be doing. We feel like it's a God thing, that it's our relationship, our friendship has grown over pieces of art, you know, just talking about the challenges of life and developing a sense of community in our friendship, and then other friends that we have that, you know, that we go to art openings with, or we go to their art openings. And so, yeah, it's got a lot of good that just keeps coming our way through the work. And the work is just a catalyst or a medium that provides friendships and good stuff. I think it was an interview I saw with Bono and The Edge when they were recording the Unforgettable Fire CD. And they were in the studio and they're like, we believe the greatest ideas are already made, and we're just sifting through our junk. And he's, you know, it's like he's like playing these chords and he's like, I'm just looking for the divinely created chord, you know. Chords there, and they'll take ideas that they came up with weeks ago that they felt that they were supposed to write down or record and put them together with these ideas and then flip them around and just, you know, just it's this constant searching, this uncovering something that is divine in the midst of all the mud and the muck and the, you know, the sifting. That's kind of, at least for me, that's what it is. We're looking for ideas, doodling and drawing and conversations where we're brainstorming, if you will, looking for something that we feel that we're supposed to make or be a part of.
So we were just talking in a recent podcast about this idea of the process and enjoying the process. Mm-hmm. It sounds like for you, the finished product is important and it's meaningful, but the process is also a big part of it for you, that that's where you're mm-hmm. connecting with God and with each other. Talk a little bit about that. Is that a place that you feel is like a spiritual place to be in, the process of creating the art?
It's very sacred.
I think that, when looking at the process, and, both of Colin and I are believers, and, I think it becomes apparent to us that it is truly, a spiritual process, the way it falls out. We'll sit there a lot of times, and we'll get together, and we'll have a meeting, and we're going to come up with art. And we'll sit there, and we'll meet for 3 or 4 hours. And at no point in time do we ever talk about art. Literally 4 hours straight, we're talking about just, maybe what's going on in our lives, friends, problems, just that communication together from out of that talk that we've had. All of a sudden, just in 1 second, some of our finest ideas ever will just all of a sudden just be there. And we'll be like, yeah, that's it. And we'll have a piece.
For this podcast audience that's just listening, how would you describe this work to somebody who can't see it?
Oh, boy.
What's your elevator speech for, what your style is? Because it's very unique, and I've seen it before. But, I don't know many people doing this kind of thing.
I mean, we just generalize it by just saying contemporary, modern, it's somewhat abstract, but for us, we always try to work from a place of meaning, narrative, where we try to have a concept behind each piece that, if a person looks at it, they're like, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's visually appealing, hopefully, to them. But if they look a little deeper and use their mind's eye, so to speak, and ask themselves, why did they do what they're doing? Why did they choose that material with that and that line with that shape and that texture and that, it looks like they're saying something. And if they let themselves dig a little deeper, then they'll discover the kind of the sometimes hidden and sometimes not so hidden truth or concept behind the piece. Mm-hmm. So we like that. Narrative is, I think, our favorite aspect. We'll come up with a cool pattern or a cool design or something, but we don't get any kind of excitement out of that unless it's really on the road to being part of saying something that's so much bigger.
If I were to describe it, I would say a creative visual dance party. When I look at them, I just want to start dancing or something. Is that weird?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're just so I can't stop staring at them. It just makes me happy.
We closed out our conversation with Dan and Colin by asking if they had any advice for folks like us who want to make stuff but are maybe feeling stuck.
I definitely recommend, if you find yourself gravitating towards one thing, break your brain up. Go out and do some things that aren't what you do every day, Go out and just do something that's uncomfortable, And
absolutely.
Really exercise that. You'll find so much depth.
Yeah. I think you just answered my next question. I was going to ask both you guys sort of from two different perspectives. One, if you're maybe not naturally a creative person or you're sort of stuck in a rut and you don't think you are, but maybe you are, what would you recommend? And it sounds like that's it, right? Just take a risk, get out of your comfort zone, whatever it is, just do something different and see what happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Colin, I'm going to ask you the same question but a little differently. I think you naturally are that creative type person who does sort of naturally take risks. So if you're talking to a listener who maybe identifies a little bit more with you, but they're not producing what they want, they're, the stuff that they're creating isn't – they're not passionate about it, or they're just not finding the time. What's your advice to the creative folks out there that maybe need a little encouragement?
Yeah, definitely put yourself in a position that's going to challenge you. out of your comfort zone. I actually just read something recently for creatives that if you want to continue growing as a professional artist, I think that's actually what the article was written for, were for professional artists. They said if you want to challenge yourself to grow as a professional artist, about every year or two, and I think they were using the two-year increment as a general whatever number, but every couple of years, take a class that's going to challenge you to learn a new medium. So if you're a painter, take a photography class. If you're a photographer, take a sculpture class and so forth, or learn an instrument or something. And what happens is by putting yourself in a position where you're weekly or whatever the class, you know, rhythm is, that you will be learning a new medium that is going to enhance and help you in the medium that you're most comfortable with. Like if you're a painter, you'll find yourself, oh my gosh, I've got a whole new series has come about all because you've taken a photography course or learned, you know, started learning how to play guitar or something. You'll find that that will help you to get inspired and then, you know, transfer that, I think. And I've been trying to do that. I've actually been doing molds lately and learning sculpture more and more. And it's opened up this whole world of like, oh my gosh, Dan and I could do this or we could do that. I want to throw these ideas out there to see what he thinks. So learning other mediums is and challenging yourself to into those.
So who wants to join a pottery or yoga or hang gliding class with me to just break up our brains? I so appreciate this conversation with Dan and Colin of Roland and Auger. So if you want to see some of their artwork, go to rebelstorytellers.com/thepodcast. We'll post up some of their artwork and links so you can find more. And I think you'll see in their art how their opposite personalities mash up together to make something truly beautiful. That's it for this episode. My name is Brad Wise, and my co-host is Steve Fuller. Steve is actually spending the summer in the Outer Banks, the entire summer, with his wife Liz and dog Fiona. He's getting all tan and writing the next great American novel. So while he's doing that and we're back here, nose to the grindstone, I think what we'll do is we'll release excerpts from our first four-letter word show, KISS, to get you primed for the next show that's coming up, Hero, July 24th in Cincinnati. Tickets are available at rebelstorytellers.com. That's it. Until next time. Keep creating.